I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. I don't expect to stop until I with him stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Be seated. The Lord is our light and our salvation. May the light and peace of Jesus the Christ be with you today. Well, welcome you beloved community of God. Welcome you long-timers, you onliners, and you first-timers. Welcome to you sporadic attenders and occasional toe-dippers. Welcome to you who are old. Welcome to you who are older. To you who are younger. To you who are young. Welcome to the alert and energetic and happy to be here. Welcome to the tired and the sad and the hurting. Welcome to the confused and the enlightened, the unsure and the certain. Welcome to those with deep faith and those with deep doubts. Welcome all. You are supposed to be here today, and I'm so glad that you are, and our friend Ford is here today. So good to see you today. Make sure to hug his neck a little bit later in our service. So glad that you are here today. Take a moment and fill out perhaps some of these cards that you see, the blue ones letting us know that you're here, those pink ones if you have a celebration or prayer request that our shepherding team should know about, and those yellow ones, of course, are great to get in the mail. Someone who has a birthday, anniversary, some kind of encouragement you want to send out to folks today. All right, Andrea, thanks for leading us today so beautifully, and we have several other songs to come. To begin, would you stand, please? Would you receive this call to worship? I will read this from Psalm 46, starting in verse 1. Let's remain standing, please, for the songs that follow. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's worship in song together.
There is the habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to rise. Oh, tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrow away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise.
Would you pray with me? Holy God, Creator, our nurturer and sustainer, we thank you and we praise you for your good gifts. Today we pray for the sick, for those who suffer from illness and disease and injury. They call out to you for healing and comfort, and to this we add our voice. We believe in the healing power of Christ, and we ask for healing and comfort and relief. Today we also pray for those in prison. Though they may be invisible to us, we know they are seen by you. For those rightly or unjustly accused, we pray for your mercy. For our brothers and sisters, we pray for your mercy. For all those in despair, we pray for your presence and light. God of all, we pray today for the hungry and those living in poverty and need, for those who, like Jesus did, sleep in irregular places. We pray for them, for your providence and protection, and we ask our forgiveness for our excesses. Great God, we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that through your Holy Spirit, we will be led from our rebellion to compliance with your will and to greater holiness. Holy God, Creator, our nurturer and sustainer, we thank you and we praise you for your good gifts, and chiefly for the gift of your Son, who came to us fully human, and who, through your power, gained victory over sin, and victory over death, and victory over the evil one, and in whom we may also claim victory over all those things. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Last week, we began with a charge and a challenge to us. This is from 1 Peter 4. This is the same one from last week. It's the same one that we will revisit throughout our series on 1 Peter. Today, for this charge and challenge, I would invite one of you, if you'd be willing, to stand up where you are and that you will read the first four slides. And that on the fifth one, when it comes to yellow, the rest of us will join in. Is there someone who would stand where you are and read the text today? Thank you, Glenn. Four slides. Let's add our voices together. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling.
Coming off of 3 or 4 months of talking about hospitality, or walking through Lent and celebrating Easter, we began a series last week on 1 Peter, a tiny letter at the backs of our Bibles. This letter speaks directly to where we've come from, hospitality, wilderness, and resurrection, and gives us an opportunity to hear them afresh and all together. You see where we were last week, April 23rd, the first part of chapter 1, praise be to God anyway. You see where we're going the next few weeks. Choose your ancestors. Choose your ancestor, a breathing hope, and God's care for you. Today we focus in on the latter part of chapter 1, starting in verse 13, excuse me, and Dick Darrow is going to come and read that for us right now.
Good morning. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 24. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as strangers here, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were liberated from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God.
All right, our Roots friends, if you would like to join the table in the back, Miss Chelsea is on her way, and you can join her there if you would like. Dick, thank you for reading today, and Jeff for praying, and Glenn, thanks for standing up to read our charge and our challenge today. Let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God, and earnestly this day we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? For it's because of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's make some lists. Do you like to make lists? I like to make lists. I make lists all the time. I make lists on sticky notes. I make lists for grocery shopping on weekly planners. I make lists on my notes app on my phone. I make running lists in my mind about books I need to read, people I should probably forgive, and national parks I need to visit. I make lists on the back of scripture commentaries that I've made copies of. Here's a picture from just 2 weeks ago. Scribbles all over the place. When I'm trying to focus, for example, on writing a sermon, I think, oh, I need to get this taken care of right now. No, I will write it down, come back to it later. Otherwise, I'll forget. You know how that goes, perhaps. I still have a couple of things to take care of. As you see, I need to go visit your grandmother, Delia. I'm going to go do that again. Your grandmother has passed away. I had not heard that. Yeah. Gotcha. I had not heard that. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. Let's talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. I'm grateful for Delia. Her name is spoken today. Thank you. Well, in our household, Chelsea is the principal list maker. There is no doubt about that. And most likely, her notability influenced me to follow her lead. She's been making lists as long as I can remember, as long as she and I have been together, even buying when we were newly married some of those magnetic notepads you stick up on the fridge. How else can you know what needs doing if you don't write it down where you can see it? Chelsea has not only inspired me, but also our daughter, who has taken up the mantle. Cora's first star test of the year was last week, and on Monday, she came home with this HISD checklist, what to do the evening before the test and what to do the morning of the evening before. Relax, rest, no homework, no electronics after 8 p.m., go to bed, get 9 to 10 hours of sleep, test day, wake up on time, healthy breakfast, number 2 pencils, bring a sweater, and I love this one, think, I am brilliant. All of these, night and morning, Cora did and X'd out, and Chelsea was so proud. I, too, find a certain level of satisfaction when I grab a pencil and scratch a line straight through those items once I've completed them. Feels great to have something accomplished. Run to Sam's for cleaning supplies for the church building. Scratch through it. Print off receipts for the church credit card statement. Scratch through it. Lunch with one of you. Scratch through it. No offense. The writer of 1 Peter, list maker. Lists are all over the place. We read one earlier together, Glenn did for us, which is our charge and our challenge. These short statements, quick, one after another. Offer hospitality. Use your gifts to serve others. Speak as if you're speaking the very words of God. Later, Peter says, you cannot behave as the rest of the world does. Listen to examples of shamelessness and drunkenness and idolatry. And still at another spot in the letter, there's this list of qualities that a shepherd of a congregation should have. Don't be greedy. Be eager to serve. Take care of your flock. All of these lists perhaps begin to make a little sense when we remember the context in which the readers find themselves. As we talked about last week, Peter is writing to a scattered peoples, handfuls of Christians in remote and isolated villages and towns. They're mostly Gentiles, non-Jews, that is, and they've somehow heard the message of Jesus. And they've grown to love him despite never, ever meeting him in person. What a marvel that is. What a gift of God's Spirit who carries on like the wind without our permission. One big problem these new Christians face is that the few of them who've come by faith to the God of Jesus, they are no longer protected by the customary bonds of old. Those securities they once enjoyed are strained, if not gone. Belonging to some kind of newfangled cult now, their friends, their family, their colleagues wonder what in the world has gotten into them. They are viewed as unsociable, out of touch, disagreeable, unpatriotic, maybe even a threat. People think it odd that they don't join in on the recklessness anymore. Moreover, the mainstream of their culture at large doesn't accept them as they once did. That culture, with their hierarchical systems, with their plurality of gods, with their Caesar as king, does not fit the church's purview any longer. Not since the Spirit scraped the weary scales off their eyes. As a result, though, the huddled groups are harassed and ostracized. They suffer. If they are going to make it, if the church is going to make it, they will figure out how to do life on the margins. That is what they have to do. Here are three possible routes they could take. First, they could blend in. They could accommodate, assimilate. You blend in, but try to maintain identity. Live discreetly so they don't get insulted or hurt. Don't draw any unnecessary attention to themselves. Adopt a pattern to keep from being persecuted. Live in such a way that your life is not worth harassing. Fall in line. Do that, and there's a decent chance that they would get to keep things how they want it, have their cake and eat it too, worship as they want, fellowship as they want, attend gatherings as they want, just unobtrusively, behind the scenes, behind the walls. The problem with blending in or assimilating, as you may have already determined, is that in doing so, those churches hold up a bar not that is too high, but a faith that just doesn't matter. If all church does is impose on Sunday brunch plans, then why become a part of one? A second option the remote congregations Peter is writing to could choose is to hide. Run away from everyone and everything. Escape, hunker down, protect themselves, since no one else will. Build a hedge, build a wall, build a fort. It's us versus them, y'all. They could do that, isolate themselves. Don't let anyone scary in or near. The hitch in that plan, of course, comes if they try to square hiding out with, "You are the light of the world." But at least they're safe. If their goal is to make sure nothing bad happens, well, then nothing will happen. A third option, then: strike back, get even, retaliate. Did you get attacked? Don't just stand there. Fight back, hit them back, words, fists, both, it doesn't matter, either one. Better yet, aim to take the power. Don't stay in the margins. Claw your way to the top so you can set the rules and the laws and the agenda. And maybe then they will know what it's like to feel the unbending pain of being shunned and stunted. Wouldn't that be nice? Assimilate, hide, retaliate. You might recognize these roots in contemporary churches. Symptoms is probably a better word. One could suggest that contemporary churches mostly fall into this blending in category, which is relatively easy to do since it's not very dangerous to be a Christian. We can also see the hiding out approach, us versus them, see no evil, hear no evil, as well as the retaliation or power tactic, which Christians and nations have employed for quite some time now. It's nothing new. Those are your options. Assimilate, hide, fight back. Pretty slim pickings. None of them sound overly appealing, if you ask me, but if I had to choose, assimilating perhaps, blend in, seems like the least harmful method. But Peter says, let's try something else. At least three times in this short letter, he calls the people in these small area churches strangers, calls them strangers. That's how he began the letter: to God's elect, you exiles, you strangers scattered throughout the lands. We'll see it next week in our text. Dearest friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, as strangers in this world, and this week, which we've seen, live out your time as foreigners here, as strangers in reverent fear. It's this stranger identity that Peter wants these ostracized, suffering persons, these small congregations, to claim. You belong somewhere else. Your forever home is not what you see before you. Everything around you, it is perishable. It is temporary. It is passing away. You are a stranger here, he tells them. This, rather, is what you belong to, what we heard last Sunday. In God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus the Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Your being, your very being, belongs to the fullness of God in presence and in space, whatever that may look like from time before and the time to come. Your job, says Peter, live as strangers in the world. The margins, the edges, are where we do our very best work. It's where we meet the most interesting people. We belong on the margins because we don't have a permanent home here. But you are acting as if you do, he says. With your assimilation that does not matter, with your hiding that does nothing, with your retaliation that does more harm than good. Christians, ideally, are always going to be out of sync with the world. Embrace it, Peter says. Throughout the rest of the letter, Peter unpacks what that strangeness means, and especially what it looks like. What does it mean? We'll talk about that more next Sunday. What does it look like? We can start on that right now. To do that, what Peter does is make a list. We find this list starting in verse 13, what Dick read for us earlier. Therefore, because you are strangers here, like the Israelite strangers in Egypt, like the Jewish strangers in Babylon, therefore prepare your minds. Keep your minds alert and sober. Gird your loins, the text actually says, an expression that means tucking in your long robe into your belt so it will not hamper your physical activity. In other words, stand ready, stand in a ready posture to face whatever is ahead. Be disciplined in your action. Set your hope on the grace that Jesus the Christ brings. That great kindness is yours. And grace changes everything. Don't conform to the desires that you used to have when you didn't know what you know now, before the wandering Spirit of God taught you otherwise. Don't walk around with a bad heart. That is not who you are anymore. You have wisened up, and you're growing wiser. Instead, be holy. Walk in a sacred manner in every single thing that you do. Because God, who is all around you, is holy. Since your relationship with God is a familial one, God as parent and you as beloved child, you call out to God for help and God helps. God is good that way. But don't forget, God also is a responsible parent and will not let you get by with sloppy living. This one on the list, Peter goes into an excursus. He expounds on what he's trying to get at. Look, he says, you were liberated from an empty and dead-end way of life, not from wealth or back-channel deals, but by Jesus, who by his death showed you what laying down your life for others does. It frees them. And you are free through the Christ who laid down his life for you. What a gift that has been revealed to us. So place your hope, place your trust in God, who in Jesus the Christ knows exactly what it means to live on the margins. And in that trust and in your freedom, you are now free to love one another deeply with your whole and true heart. So love one another generously, sincerely, wholly, and wildly. Those around you, love them. Those who are really hard to love, love them too. Everyone knows you have 100 reasons not to do so, but remember, you have been liberated from every single one of those. Those are empty and you no longer belong to that. If you are unconditionally and unquestionably God's beloved, what can any person hold against you? And finally, receive the Spirit seed that is planted deep within you. Let it bloom. Let it flower. Let it smell. For it will never, ever decay, and it will remain in you for every single day of your life. The catch with a list like this one is that you cannot scratch through them once done. You cannot draw a line through be holy and feel accomplished. You cannot place your hope in God and exit out. You can't scribble over love one another and congratulate yourself. This list is not like the grocery store run in, out, good, done. These listed items are Spirit-fed characteristics that continuously unfold within you and within the church as we press into them, as we practice them, as we pay attention. They are constantly revealing themselves to us on deeper and deeper levels, which is how we come to receive grace anew every single morning. And how, over time, we come to see the people around us as worthy of love, too. We are not who we once were, nor are we who we will be. For today, as we live into the list, we find that Jesus, the Christ who lived and died, lives on in us. Therefore, as strangers in the world, don't play the game. Don't play the assimilation game, the hiding game, the power game. That's not who you are anymore. You, church, have been given a new birth. Let us live like it, and let us love like it. And so together we can say or we can type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we worship in song together.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Into the I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heavens' mercy stream. Songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again.
Christ has indeed liberated us. Christ has indeed freed us. So let's eat and receive this meal that is left for us with great joy, with gratitude. If you are interested in helping to serve the bread and the cup today, you can come forward in just a moment. I have a feeling that some people might race you to the front. So if you want to do that today, you got to be a little bit quicker, okay? Let's pray, and then we will eat and drink together. With joy and with gratitude, indeed, God, we give you thanks for the ways that you have freed us, that you are freeing us, and that you will continue to free us. We are grateful for all of these. This bread and this cup, which we share together now, remind us of the Christ who has done all these things on our behalf and for the sake of the world. So we say thank you. And it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. All right, Glenn is moving forward, so that means it is time for offering our contribution. Dee, can you help out, please, with Glenn? Thank you. If you have a contribution, a tithe, some of those cards from earlier, you can put all of these in the offering plate, and we'll take care of it that way. If you decide to give online or bring it to the office, and we'll take care of it that way as well. Let's pray together, please. You have indeed given us this day our daily bread, and we give you thanks. So we also now, as you have taught us, give to. Teach us in ways that you give, and lead us to do the same. For it's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. The first one is should also be in your bulletin today. Our sister Lois Oden, who is here today, is turning 100 about a month from now. It's incredible. In preparation for that, there may or may not be a larger celebration. Those are kind of still being worked out based on a couple of factors. But if that does not happen, what the family and what Carlos and what Lois has asked is that folks come by the house and sit with Lois or share a meal. If you want to lose in a game of bridge, you can certainly do that. She will still dominate you, I guarantee that. But a good time is throughout the week, usually 11 to 1-ish, The family's asking just maybe one or two at a time so as to not overwhelm or anything like that. But I have been just a couple weeks ago, and I'm going again this next week to go and sit with them. Carlos is your connection to help schedule that, to make sure that no one overlaps, but this will happen just over the next 4 weeks. So if you are interested in doing that and going to sit with Lois for her birthday, then please do that, and Carlos will connect you. All right. Thursday Bible class continues this Thursday, 10:30 a.m. This is a deeper look into Peter's letters, if you are interested in that, both in person and on Zoom. And you see up on the screen, there are two new class offerings. One that began just a couple weeks ago. Kay is leading a series through the Psalms, and she has done that several times in her time here, and it's always excellent if you want to be a part of that study. That's in room 106. The other new one up there is in room 101 is Psalms. Room 106 is called Signs and Wonders, which you're talking about the miracles of Jesus, Jesus' miracles. Chelsea is leading that one starting today in room 106. I hope that you choose to stay and be a part of one of these two or one of the others that we have at large throughout the building. And those are great ways to connect in faith to folks in this congregation. All right. Thank you, friends, for being here today. Yes, you have testimony. Yes. You want to share today? Do you want to share up front? Come on forward. Please welcome.
Not very good at this, but good morning, everyone. I want to thank the church for putting me on the prayer list and your prayers. Thursday, April 27th, I completed my therapy for prostate cancer. So we can ring the bell. And God is good. And I thank y'all so much for your prayers. And I thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Gary. If you've not met him yet, please do after service. He and Vernell have been coming consistently over the last month or two, and they are wonderful people. Gary, we're so thankful for that. We give thanks to God for that. Thank you. All right, Gary, would you stay with me? Let's all stand, please. This is for our benediction today. I'm just going to stand next to you as I read. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you for sharing. This is from our reading today from 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply and from the heart. For you have been born again, not with perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Go forth in peace and purpose today. Thank you, brother. Man, that is great.